interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the Delta Media Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a Monday, February 4 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports as we move into a brave new world without football here on 103.7 The Game. Yes, the Super Bowl is come and gone. We'll have to wait till spring ball and then to Labor Day to get our fix officially. But we'll have some postmortem from Super Bowl 53 today. We're going to lead off momentarily with LSU football recruiting conversation and a lot more coming your way on the hardwood during today's program. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D and the three-hour tour set to unfold from inside the 237 Roof Studios. Briefly, our rundown of great guests in about a minute, maybe less. Our good friend Sonny Shipp, 247 Sports. Go 247.com. We'll talk about LSU's huge recruiting weekend in Baton Rouge, and we'll preview Wednesday's National Signing Day. That'll be our only guest of this hour at 5:15. Back to BR, at least I think. That's usually where Ruffin Rodriguez. We'll bring him aboard in his usual time slot at 6:15 to New Orleans. Shamit Dua, lead writer, bourbonstreetshots.com. The latest quote-unquote Godfather offer that the Lakers have made Dell Demps and the Pelicans brass for Anthony Davis. And at 6:30, another one of our favorites, former STM Cougar, Raging Cajun Hooper, and now he's the head coach at Southside High, Brad Boyd, will be with us at 6:30. So we're locked and loaded today, and we're going to start it off with a great guest. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. It is time for LSU beat writer, recruiting reporter, Sonny Shipp, go247.com. How are you, Sonny?
Good, man. What's going on, brother?
We're just trying to make sense of everything, and so LSU is chasing after a number of defensive linemen that are going to be graduating from high school soon, and yet it's a JUCO player who pulls the trigger this weekend. Tell us all you know about Sonny Finua and maybe what helped, I guess, coerce him to this decision.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at Sonny Finua, the first thing that jumps out at you for a JUCO kid is that he's already 6'4", 260, 265 range, and a pass rush specialist. You know, that was something that LSU was lacking in 2018. Once Caleb on Chaisson blew out his knee in the season opener against Miami, LSU never really could rebound from that. They tried Andre Anthony out there, who had a decent game against Auburn before the costly penalty. They tried Ray Thornton. They ended up having to move Patrick Queen over there. And so they really wanted to try to shore up that area should they have an injury in 2019. And I think Finua gives you that. He obviously with the size, I think he's going to give LSU some options. You talked about the defensive line. Defensive line depth is still not going to be, even if LSU does finish with one or two defensive linemen in this 2019 class, the defensive line depth is still not where you really want it to be competing for championships. And so I think Finua, he's going to give Dave Aranda some options. With that kind of size, it's not unreasonable at all to think he could put on another 10 pounds, get up to 270, 275. And so I think he's going to give Aranda some options to where you've got someone that you tab at the bench outside linebacker position, but yet he may be able to give you some snaps, on the defensive line as well. So, I think it's a good pickup at this stage of the game, and the LSU staff, they really like this guy. They really like his film, and they feel like he's a steal to be able to get this late in the game.
So Finua seemingly would be the first of the six spots that are remaining for signing day on Wednesday. Let's look at a couple of pairs. I'm going to ask you next about the two committed players that didn't sign in December. Are you still getting the sense that Ray Parker at this point probably on the outside looking in, but Mo Hampton still firm to LSU?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's as accurate as you could put it. And that, you know, that would put LSU at 21 right there. I don't see, you know, I don't see Ray Parker being in the class at this stage of the game. I think he's a guy that you look down the road in 2021 and you see if he resurfaces after a couple of years in junior college.
Got another pair. Going to throw it next at Sonny Ship, and we're going to talk about a great deal that's going on right now at go247.com. You know where I'm going with this one. How about the A-Meat High pair? We know that they're not tethered to one another. Devontae Lee, Ishmael Sobcher, the receiver could go one way, the defensive tackle the other. But here we are, just about the 11th hour. How you feeling?
I feel really good about LSU getting Lee, and I think that puts you at 22. You know, just with everything that even despite his good friend Amani Gilmore, who's going to Kentucky, you know, I think Kentucky made a good strong push for Lee, but I think in the end, being close to mom, being close to home, you know, LSU is going to get a versatile athlete in Lee that puts him at 22 for this class, a guy that could play receiver, he could potentially play safety, he could even go into that field outside linebacker position, a la Corey Thompson. And, you know, same kind of body, same kind of build. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think LSU fans are going to be happy with what they get from that meat product. Now, I know that, you know, the next spillway is over into the next one, Ishmael Sobcher. And LSU just spent 4 days with him. There's really nothing else that they could pitch, really nothing else that they could do. I think you brought out all your big guns in trying to get the big four-star defensive tackle. And I think, you know, right now, it's LSU and Alabama, everybody else on the outside looking in. And, you know, that's going to be one of these cases to where over these next 36 to 40 hours, I know the LSU staff, they probably won't get much sleep at all. Neither will the Alabama staff. And it's going to be just a matter of which one can close the deal. We've seen Alabama come in and close a lot of these deals in the past. And, you know, that's something that Ed Orgeron has made a focus on with this class right here is being able to beat Alabama on that big head-to-head recruiting battle. And if they can pull it off with Sobcher, you're going to have to tip your hat to Orgeron for the job that they did right here. I just, you know, right now, I still don't know if LSU has done quite enough to be able to beat Alabama on this one.
And so let's say hypothetically that leaves LSU at 22. We'll pick up there in a moment. But I mentioned there's a great deal at go247.com, and it's the perfect time for it, right? It's the last little jump that we have into signing day, and then after that, all of the picnic-type weekends where the biggest juniors from in-state and out start to come in. And so how can the people get in on what you've got going on at a great bargain, Sonny?
Man, we've got an unbelievable deal going on right now. We got 8 hours left on it. Ends tonight at midnight. And it's 6 months for the price of one, basically for a nickel a day. That's what it comes out to, a nickel. You can get all your LSU info, all your recruiting info leading up to signing day into the spring, all of your spring football news, all of your March Madness, your run to the College World Series, everything through the summer. This takes you all the way to the start of fall camp. And, you know, for 6 months for $9.95, you know, this is an unmatched offer in the LSU market. And I think it's a great deal, and it's a great opportunity for fans to give us a look. And like I said, a nickel a day speaks for itself.
Sonny, Shea, Billy, and Body, you can catch up with all of them. Go247.com. All right, let's pick back up. Let's say that LSU's at 22 and then Sobcher's hanging out there. Obviously, he's got a spot if he wants it. Tell me about tight end Garmon Randolph. I know he's the top 2019 uncommitted tight end. I also know that he OV'd over the weekend. I didn't realize that tight end was a huge area of need for LSU, or at least that they viewed it as such. What can you share on that front?
You know, I did a predicting the depth chart piece last week, and I don't think tight end is a huge need in this class. You know, when you look at the roster, you know, you've got Jamal Pettigrew, you've got Thaddeus Moss who are going to be juniors in 2019. You got TK McClendon, the junior college kid who already signed in the early signing period with this class right here. And there's a lot of depth at tight end. But, you know, you look at Randolph, a 6'6", 215-pound guy. He's the type of guy that they could flex out. They could create some mismatches on right there. I think the biggest thing, though, is going to be, you know, is he going to have a spot? Because you mentioned 22. I think 23 is going to go to Christian Williams,
okay,
the defensive back who's currently committed to Alabama. And I think he's going to flip that commitment. I don't think Alabama's going to have room to take him. And I think he's going to be LSU all the way. So then you start looking at, you know, if you're at 23, then you say, okay, we have Randolph here. If you take Randolph and you get Sopcich, that puts you at 25. But you've got a couple of other defensive linemen out there too. So I don't think they're at a point right now, at a position to where they can say, okay, Randolph, you definitely have a spot right here. And, you know, we've seen that. We saw this last year with Mario Goodrich, the four-star cornerback who ended up signing with Clemson. And it's just one of those situations where you're trying to juggle the numbers because the LSU can't go over 25. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those deals to where how long can you keep him out there? Because you know Baylor, the main competition for him is Baylor. They're trying to do everything that they can to lock him up. And so you know that they're eventually going to have to say, look, I don't know if you'll have a spot right here, you know, if this continues. And so what do? You know, if you're that kid right there. So it's going to be interesting to see how LSU works that out. Because, you know, getting another defensive lineman is an absolute, you know, it's an absolute necessity. Getting two would be ideal. And, you know, you've got Sopcich there. You've got the two Mississippi guys who visited over the weekend as well. Byron Young, who's committed to Alabama. I think he sticks with Alabama. Charles Moore is a wild card. You know, he's a four-star defensive end. He's been committed to Mississippi State, opened things back up, visited Mississippi State after he left LSU for a brief visit right there. You know, I don't think anybody would be surprised if this guy signed with Mississippi State or if he signed with LSU, just because he's been all over the map as far as his recruiting process goes. So when you look at all of those numbers, you know, I don't think LSU is at a point right now to where they can say, okay, we can definitely take Randolph.
Finishing up with Sonny Shipp, a great follow on Twitter, at SonnyShipp247. Big picture, you've been tracking this 2019 class, I would imagine, for at least 3 years. It was all hyped up. Now that we've gotten basically to the end of it, how does it compare to what you thought it was going to be?
I think it's a very strong class. You know, I think, you know, in the beginning, you know, Ishmael Sopcich, I want to say he started out as the number two overall prospect in the country. You know, and this was a couple of years ago. You know, since then he's put on about 25 to 30 pounds. I think that kind of affected his overall performance as the senior season rolled on. And you know, but I still think he's a quality player, and I still think he's a guy who's going to make a difference in college if he can get that conditioning in check. LSU hit an absolute home run at the running back position with John Emery and Tyrion Davis, the number one. And the number six running backs in the country. You can't get a better deal than that right there. You toss in Derek Stingley, the number two overall prospect in the country, the number one cornerback, you know, Devonta Lee, Trey Palmer. We knew the class was going to be top heavy coming in. And, you know, when you go back and when you look at their senior seasons, Cordell Thomas didn't have the type of senior season that, you know, that a lot of people thought that he would have. Same thing with Sopcich. But outside those two big men, I think the skill position players in Louisiana, you know, at the top, that they really even exceeded the expectations that many had going in.
Sonny Shipp has been our guest. I highly encourage that you get to the website, go, spell the Louisiana way, GEAUX247.com. Less than $10 will get you 6 months of their premium coverage. You cannot beat that deal. Sonny, thanks again for the time. We always love having you in Lafayette.
Always a pleasure, my man, and always good to get back home to my roots.
Sonny Shipp, big fan of the Hub City. Spent a lot of time over here as well. As we head into a break, there was your LSU Cruton fix, and boy, if you need more of that, mainlined into the veins, I don't know how to help you. But if you want some more good news, here it is. We're starting two more regular interviews this week. They were with us last year. They got a call back. They were so good. Didn't have to re-audition, nothing like that. Every Thursday at 4:30, starting this week, Hunt Palmer. Every Friday, starting at 5 o'clock this week, the On Deck Circle with James Moran. So LSU baseball getting awfully close, and this time, next week, I'll be able to debut a Raging Cajuns baseball guest as well. So the fun today and all baseball season long is just beginning. On the other side of this break, I'll give you my Super Bowl 53 takes. We'll have your calls as well. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, football season in the rear view, but we got a lot of goods to come. It's B2BS coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Nah, I'm fine. I'm completely fine. I mean, I did an MRI after the Philly game. I'm fine. So I'm just, you know, happy to be able to be healthy to finish out the season. I know it's been a lot of concerns about my health and stuff, but I really am fine, though.
Todd Gurley, brother, fellow dog, you didn't look fine. You didn't look healthy. Let's get into that right now. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game, and the phone lines are open between now and when Ruffin Rodriguez pays us a visit in about 55 minutes. You want to get in, react to Sonny Shipp's LSU Cruton conversation, or start talking about the Super Bowl, the number to dial, 706-0111. And only in this post-Saints no-call world that we occupy would I lead off a show like today's without going right in on the Super Bowl. But I thought, frankly, LSU recruiting might just lead today's topic. I'm glad that it did. Sonny was fantastic. Here's what I think about what I saw last night. For those of you that didn't watch it, I don't know what to tell you. I don't guess there's any point in telling you to earmuff it because, well, you didn't care about it last night. You're not going to care about it moving forward. Final score, 13-3, Pats over the Rams. Well, first off, Gurley was not right. And I'm not blaming the player at all. He could tell us everything he wants about having an MRI. I was good to go. Well, then why didn't your team use you like the potential league MVP that you've been most of the last 2 years in the NFC title game or in the Super Bowl? He wasn't right. And I told you all last week, if they had Gurley healthy and could run consistently, they were going to win that game. I think, in large part, that bore itself out last night. I don't know that the Patriots' defense was just that good. They certainly were. I don't know if they were just that good or if it was also that the best on the other side wasn't himself. I think it was a little bit of both. The other thing I'll say before we take our first call of the program, defense, defense, defense. I had a feeling, and I told you Friday that we'd come to the show Monday, we'd be talking about a more defensive-minded Super Bowl than we had for most of the last half decade. Now, I got to shoot you straight. I'd love to be Nostradamus if I can be. I didn't see 13-3 in the cards. This was the lowest-scoring Super Bowl in multiple generations. I didn't quite see that. I knew the defenses would be stellar, but wow, I think the offenses contributed in the sense of Gurley not being right, Goff not being ready, and the Patriots, for me, I thought offensively, I mean, they were a one-note band for the most part. It was Edelman, maybe a two-note band. You could say Gronk, but they didn't have to get much out of their comfort zone, and nobody really took many shots down the field. So defense, certainly the order of the day, and I'll give you more of my thoughts as the show goes on. Right now, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Dusty, welcome back in.
Oh, brother Love, isn't voodoo the most powerful and glorious thing known to man? 3 points on that field last night. Bobby Boucher and the Mud Dogs could have scored more than 3 points on Tom Brady and that Patriots team last night. And while I get to the Rams fans, they have a new slogan. It's called the Where They At Nation, because they didn't show up offensively on the field last night, and they didn't show up in the stands of Atlanta either. We showed up more for a postseason parade than what they showed up for their team's first Super Bowl in 17 years. That is pitiful, and that is hilarious. Take it away.
It's also a true story. Dusty, you the man. Might have to bring that guy in and start co-hosting the show. Dave's got a lady on with him. Dusty's coming on the program here. That's just the way we're going to have to play that, CD. And by the way, New Orleans showed up in tremendous numbers for the boycott yesterday. The market share for the Super Bowl on TV bears that out. I was going to bury that for later in the program, but before I bring you in here, this is probably worth sharing now. According to Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, Super Bowl 53 earned a 26.1 rating in New Orleans, the lowest of any market in the country and the lowest ever in New Orleans. They weren't screwing around with that boycott.
Yeah, they definitely weren't messing around with that boycott. It was that's incredible to think that that's like the lowest New Orleans has ever had for a rating in the history of the Super Bowl, considering how many years this has been going on. In fact, I didn't even realize until I saw the commercial last night the NFL has been around for 100 years.
Yeah, that kind of crept up on me as well. CBS, for what it's worth, drew a 44.9 overnight rating, the lowest scoring Super Bowl yet. So, yeah, I will admit and I will give the credit to a number of people who have been on this show in recent weeks that have said, you know, this is going to have a tangible effect on the ratings. Most notably to my good friend Jeff Horchek, KLFY. He said it Thursday, the ratings will be down. And I kind of acted like a pitcher that wanted to throw the hook when I was getting the number one put down. I shook him off. I said, no, it'll be lower in New Orleans. Might be lower in the Midwest, Kansas City. But I said, overall, Super Bowl. Well, comparatively, it did not. Now, did a number of people turn it off because it was boring and the halftime show was a bag of C-Rap? Yeah, that might have been it as well. Because there wasn't a lot in terms of entertainment value on the tube last night, at least not until the ball game ended. And boy, we'll have more on that as the show goes on. Might just have to create a segment sponsored by our friends at Patio Center called Throwing Shade for this one. But you're going to kiss a grown man on the lips, Tom Brady? We're going to have to talk about that. Yes, we are. And if Tracy Wolfson is going to brave through for the post-game interview to end all post-game interviews and almost get rugby scrummed off the turf in Arthur Blank world, we're going to have to talk about that as well. It was awfully entertaining as soon as Super Bowl 53 ended last night. But as far as what we witnessed on the field, I don't know that the Patriots need any more exclamation points to their dynasty. I don't know that Tom Brady needs any more to be into the GOAT conversation. Now, had it turned the other way, I was prepared to tell you today that Brady was very LeBron James-like. Almost 500 with multiple appearances in the Super Bowl. You think about LeBron getting there and, what, losing more than he wins. And, boy, it would have been an interesting storyline to talk about Tom 5, yes. Tom 4, no. But instead, Brady's got 6. He doesn't have enough fingers on one hand to count the rings right now. You got to tip your cap to that. The Rams weren't ready. I don't think their run is going to be done in the NFC either. More on that when we return. Plus, a sink or swim question of the day that I just think it's been begged. It needs to be asked. And so I will when we return. You're listening to Bumper Sports, day after the Super Bowl edition on 103.7 The Game.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Getting around to more of what we do every single day in the 4 o'clock hour. We ask a question, then we shut up and we take your phone calls. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D, and we have seen a football season here in South Louisiana that has been turbulent, mainly because it ended a bit on the wakey side. Wouldn't you agree that the boat started to rock a little bit? And I think it really started with LSU at A&M a couple of days after Thanksgiving. Obviously, it went through the no call and all the angst that followed with the New Orleans Saints, the Los Angeles Rams, and the lack of a Super Bowl this year. But if you could really think through what's interesting, I'll use my preseason predictions as a baseline here. And Clint wasn't too far off on a number of these. I had the Cajuns at 6 regular season wins. They actually won 7. I had LSU at 8 regular season wins. They technically won 9. They probably should have won 10. But we'll use the number that God gave us, and or at least that the refs in College Station did, and we'll say 9. I had the Saints at 12, and many people thought I was a little too bullish. They won 13. And so the three programs slash franchises that we frequent here on B2BS all overachieved. Cajuns even played for the Sun Belt Conference title. That was unexpected. Saints played for the NFC title. That was a little more expected. But still, because of the way it ended, bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and it begged the following question.
Love, exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day on this Monday. Let's keep it real simple. Are you relieved this football season is over? There is a one-word answer that can occupy. It could be yes, which also translates to sink. It could be no, also translated as... Oh, did I say that backwards, CD?
I think I've already
gone backwards.
Yeah, swim would be yes, sink would be no.
There we go. You know what? I translate horribly there. That's why when I, even though I speak Spanish, when I go to Mexico, I probably need somebody else. But you know what I'm driving at here. Are you happy it's over? That's really what I want to know. Put in whatever terms that you want. Just call 706-0111. Clint, I'm going to lead here. I'm going to cut you off and be a little rude. This, for me, is swim, like the English Channel. This is yes. I'm actually quite relieved that football season is over. And it's really not because of overall fatigue. I know that we've been doing this every weekend since, what, Labor Day? Earlier than that, if you want to count all the practices, the fall camps, the two-a-days, this, that, and the other. And if you're in my shoes or Clint's shoes or Dave Schultz's shoes, for example, really it kicks off during talking season. It really starts the second or third weekend in July for SEC media days, and it doesn't stop until what we saw last night. But it's not really about fatigue. It's just about the fact that we're talking about so many things that aren't between the lines. We're talking about the fairness of the game, the integrity of the game when it comes to the NFL. Wanting to get Los Angeles into that game, or at least that seems to be the perception, and they rewarded the Shield with a whopping 3 points. On the LSU side, the A&M game, I think, stopped a lot of people from getting as excited as they wanted to be. Because frankly, an 11-win season, once you tack on the bowl game, would have been borderline miraculous. For I think the way many expected this season to go. I'm raising my hand at least. So while it was a season of overachieving, Cajuns lost their final game in the Sun Belt Conference title. LSU in the final regular season game got jobbed. They lost at a team that hadn't beaten them since they entered the SEC, and they've got a new bitter rival, no question about it, in the division. And the Saints lost their final game of the season. We all know how that cookie crumbled. And so because of the way it ended, I'm going to tell you, yes, I'm going to swim. I am relieved that the football season is over. There's only one front that I'm not united on there. I could do high school football every flipping weekend. That is something that I never grow tired of. So that was something I was sad to see go into the rear view. Second weekend in December, but the pro game, the college game, even though Bama got curb stomped, yeah, I'm pretty relieved that it's over. What about you? Let's go out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, no more football. Happy or sad?
Swim big time. Poof. Swim with no doubt. But Ben, I know you covered LSU for a long time, recruiting and everything. I got a question for you. Like all these D linemen were on campus at the same time. Do they talk to each other and say, I'm going here, I'm going there?
Well, they naturally share notes. I don't think there's any question about that. And they've all got different guides, but they all end up in the same type of places. There's no question about that. So if you're asking if the others that aren't named Sopsher have a feeling on where the kid from A-Meet is going, the answer is probably yes. So, yeah, there's a lot that's shared there, and they'll make their decisions based off of depth chart. They'll make their decision based off of kids that are on campus, current players and recruits that they vibe with. So, yeah, a lot of notes sharing. Good question.
Hey, simple question again. Do we get softer?
I'm leaning toward no right now, and I think there is a magnet to Tuscaloosa that will be difficult to describe on air and not try to throw your hands up in the air and yell cheating. I think, I think it's a lean toward Alabama right now is the vibe I get.
Hey, man, love your show, bro. Keep up the good work.
T, I appreciate you, man. And look, that's not – hopefully it doesn't come off as lazy broadcasting / journalism to you. It's just kind of what I continue to hear, and I'll just let Sonny Shipp do the talking for me in this case. If you heard him at the lead of today's program, he said that LSU has had this kid on campus for 4 days. He said, and I'll quote, they've done everything that they can humanly possibly do, and yet he still doesn't feel like it's going to be enough. So, I mean, I don't know. I'll let you read between the lines a little bit there. If the home state school is doing everything humanly possible, and that still may not be enough, .. Let's leave that right where it is. All right, Clint, let's get back on topic here. Are you relieved that this football season is over?
You know, I kind of am, Ben, because it's just been such a long season kind of just dealing with – I agree with a lot of what you had to say there. The fact that you've been dealing with a lot of off-the-field stuff, especially in the last month or so, it just felt like the season dragged on. I mean, I feel like the end of the season, it's just always a relief to kind of have it over and done with. But trust me, once we get into the month of June, it's like, can we get football back? We just need that little reprieve. And no, this is not counting that AAF stuff that's happening starting next week.
What is that?
The Alliance American Football.
Okay.
This is that other XFL league, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They've got my full attention.
Exactly.
Not even a little bit. I'll be all over college basketball. I'll be paying attention to the NBA. And you know that I'm all in Major League Baseball. I'm serious, man. I'm all in this year. I'm actually going to go harder in the paint, using a basketball analogy, for college baseball this year than in years past. I'm just kind of ready to kick off of the board, if I'm using some swimming analogies for you here, and just go in another direction. But you're right. Come late June, come July, especially early August, blood will be in the water, and we'll all want football back. But I don't know. Our reasoning, our two rationales seem different, Clint. For me, it's really not the fatigue. Because like I said, I could keep going with high school football. I'm serious. Anytime. Call me up. Ready to call a game. Ready to attend a game. Just put me there. I could do that over and again. I don't grow tired of that. College football would have been more cumbersome. It would have been more just suffocating if Bama would have won again. So at least there's that part. The last college football game that was played, Alabama got absolutely annihilated. And I mean hammered. So I could take some solace in that. But the way locally that LSU's season, regular season ended, the way the Saints season ended, I think there's more angst. I think there's more anger than anything else that's going on. So think some more on this question. We're going to take a brief break. Come back in. We can continue the discussion. I also want to get into some LSU basketball talk. That and more when we return. You're dialed in to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We've been heading towards this for a little while with how we've been playing. We've been, we've been kind of walking a tightrope a little bit with how we've been playing. And when you walk the tightrope long enough, you can fall off. And we fell off tonight.
For everything that went right late in a crazy game at Mizzou, fell the other way Saturday in the PMAC against Arkansas. That was Will Wade, of course. LSU fell 90-89, first loss in 8 tries in conference play. We'll talk Tigers, more Super Bowl 53, and take your answers to the sink or swim question of the day as we bounce back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. The number to play, 706-0111. And we let off with Sonny Shipp talking LSU recruiting. We can get back to that as the show goes on. But if you want to weigh in, let's do so now and in the next segment, top of the 5 o'clock hour on Super Bowl 53. My briefest takeaways there. I had a feeling defense would be the storyline today. Not to the extent that it became with 13-3. Goff, not a championship-level quarterback, at least not yet. Gurley wasn't healthy. Don't care what he says. And it made a difference in the way they called that ball game. Brady and company did enough offensively. A two-note team. Edelman, a little bit of Gronk. But they really didn't have to go too deep into their bag of tricks. It was a punt fest. It was a snooze fest. Patriots defense certainly won the evening and ultimately the game. And our sink or swim question of the day, if you want to weigh in there, it's real simple. Are you relieved this football season is over? But to get back to where we just were with the Will Wade sound, I got to watch almost all of that ball game, CD, the entire second half. Arkansas was on fire. Part of the credit goes to their shooting. Part of the blame goes to LSU's defense. And when I hear Wade discuss the tightrope, that's where it seems most appropriate to me. Defensively, Tigers have been almost asleep at the wheel. In the first halves recently, they have fallen behind. They haven't been as organized, haven't communicated as well. And there are certain areas where they're vastly improved from non-conference play. They grabbed 19 offensive boards in the game against Arkansas. I'm going to tell you, when you grab 19 offensive rebounds at home, when you've got starters that pour in, listen to what the starters poured in. Take out Marlon Taylor. He had 6. The other 4 starters, 19 from Reed, 17 from Mays, 12 from Waters, 10 from Bigby Williams, and, oh, by the way, 18 from Smart off the bench. You're supposed to win those games. And so already we've seen a couple of times in SEC play, LSU may be winning where they weren't supposed to or didn't look like they were going to be able to. This is one that went the other direction. It's going to happen. But I think it might be an opportunity for Wade to yank the chain a little bit on this team. They fell off the tightrope. They've got a chance to get right back on, and this is where they're really going to have to do it. This is the stretch. At Mississippi State in the midweek, Auburn coming to the PMAC over the weekend, and then Kentucky, and that is going to be enormous. Rupp Arena next week on the 12th. So think on that. We're going to take our first call, I would imagine, on the LSU hoop side. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ralph, how are you?
Hey, it's not LSU hoops, Ben. I was calling because I was calling to answer the sink or swim question, man. The poll question. I'm not relieved the football season's over with because we're just a few weeks away from the kickoff of the American Alliance Football League, and I can't wait for that.
All
man.
Right, so hold on. Tell me why that means anything to you or any of us.
Because I'm not a big baseball fan, and I'm not a basketball fan until March Madness. And so it fills a void until, you know, the Masters comes around and I start, you know, watching a few majors. I don't know. I'll watch the XFL somewhat, but the old the league that, man, I'm drawing a blank now, the Buford Jordan League, I call it, the other spring league that was there for a while, that was some pretty good football. And, you know, I was kind of reading a little bit about it, and the executives involved with Bill Polian and some of those guys, I think it's going to be run more professionally than the XFL was. So it's football, man. It's football.
It's football, and it's not spring football. That I will second. I believe you were referring to the USFL.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, man. That was pretty good football back then. But the only thing is I was looking at the roster. So, you know, normally I pull for the team closest to Louisiana, and I guess that would be Birmingham. But I'm a little confused as to why San Diego named their team the San Diego Fleet. I mean, the first thing I thought of was an enema when I saw that. Not a good thing.
No, and now I've got that thought as well. Ralph, you know, I appreciate the call. Thank you, man.
All right, bud.
I love it. Not the enema part, but the rest of it. Not bad. 706-0111. Since Ralph answered our sink or swim question of the day, let's get some of the response from social media. CD, I'll let you gather up the Twitter numbers, but right now on Facebook, Peter Dean, brutal stretch, emoji cry face. I'm going to take that as a yes. I'm going to take that as a swim. Dusty Menard, swim. Time to take a breath and watch some baseball. Go Tigers, go Stros. I think that Ralph will find himself in the minority there. And look, to each his own. Right? Everyone's got a preferred sport, preferred flavor. I think there are a lot of people that are ready for some quality baseball. I get the sense we're going to find it. LSU, preseason number one in the country, a lot of places. Astros, Vegas says, projected to win the most games in the regular season, even with the Yankees and the Red Sox building behemoths on the East Coast. And don't look now, but I've got a special feeling about what the Cages are going to be able to do in the context of Sun Belt Conference play. Beyond that, they're going to have to prove it, but I think this will be a better year, at least in league play.
And I have to agree with you, I think, on all fronts. I mean, this is a year where I talked about it after LSU season wrapped up last year. It's Omaha for this team. They got so much talent coming back this year. There's a lot of positives for LSU. The Cajuns, I would agree with you as well. I think they could wind up winning the West. That's where they're projected right now from the Sun Belt Conference polls that came out, I believe, last week. So I think this is going to be a fun year for many baseball fans, including myself.
All right, hit me with what's going on right now on the Twitter machine. The poll is up there. Are you relieved this football season is over? What say the people?
Most everybody is pretty relieved, Ben. 62% going swim here. They're relieved football season is finally over.
There you go. All right, we're going back and forth, kind of ping-pong balling a little bit in this segment, but I'll land on LSU basketball. My hope was that the Tigers were going to be able to take the three games that they had looking at them when you consider the lead-in to Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky. My hope was that they would sweep at Mizzou, at A&M versus Arkansas. Because if you did that, then you could take two of the three in the tough stretch and be in a phenomenal place, right? Then you would be at 10-1, 11 games into the SEC season. Okay, now they're at 7-1. Now you're at a place where you're still fine if you take two of these three, but LSU can't afford to go in reverse. In other words, they can't afford to go 1-2 during this stretch of three games. And so often you hear coaches break down seasons into thirds or fourths. Obviously, we break down games into quarters or halves. I could break down this SEC season pretty neatly for LSU because you've got Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky. After that, there is an opportunity to at least relatively catch your breath. At Georgia, home versus Florida. Don't look now, but the Gators are starting to turn into their dumpster fire adjacent. They're not quite there yet, but they know where the dumpster is. They've got the match, and a homeless guy nearby has some kerosene. So all the ingredients are there for Michael White's team to go fully into that mode. And so I think LSU, if it finds a way to win two of these next three, you're right where you want to be. But if you lose two of the next three, your confidence is shaken a little bit going to Stegman Coliseum in Athens. And then looming around the corner is a date with Tennessee on February the 23rd. You're just not trending in the right direction. The form, as we like to say on the show, isn't where you want to be. Now, overall, hey, life's pretty good if you're Will Wade, if you're an LSU basketball fan. Tigers lost the game, finally, first in eight tries in the SEC, and they only dropped two spots in the AP poll. LSU, number 21. So things are still going okay, but they're going to learn to defend a little bit better. They're going to have more urgency early in the game. This leave-it-late stuff isn't going to cut it against the upper echelon. And trust me, Arkansas, they ain't that. All right, CD, it's time now for one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Physical. I thought defenses would rule the roost in Super Bowl 53, but boy, were both of those groups awfully physical. The defensive line, we know, is really good for the Rams, but those linebackers, the secondary play coming up to the line of scrimmage for New England last night, I was pretty surprised by that. It was an ugly game, it was a boring game, but it was a very physical ball game. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're coming right back. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We
interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the Delta Media Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. As always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, the famous Clint D. in tow. Inside the 237 Roof Studios, no job too big, too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Another open hour for you. We will have Ruffin Rodriguez in our next segment. A lot to get to there. Ruffin's take on the Super Bowl. We'll get Ruffin to go in a little bit more. LSU, UL recruiting, some of the foundations the Tigers and Cajuns are building on the gridiron. We'll probably also ask him a little bit about LSU baseball. My man likes getting out to the box. So all that and more coming at 5:15. Other than that, in this hour, plan to go deeper into Super Bowl 53. Our takeaways from the end of this football season, not just the NFL, the entirety of this past fall that ended last night in Atlanta. We'll throw some shade at half past the hour. If one of the best football players of all time kisses his owner on the lips, we're probably going to have to talk about that. And so we will today. You can guess what segment that is destined for. And we'll also dig a little deeper on Anthony Davis. A Godfather offer is what some have called the Lakers' latest overture toward the Pels franchise and Dell Demps. I would beg to differ. So we'll share that with you as well during the 5 o'clock hour. But I've sounded off a little bit on the Super Bowl. The reality is, not a lot of people around these parts were excited about the ball game. A number of you didn't watch the ball game. My friends at the Taproom River Ranch had a heck of a party, quite literally, based off of not watching the ball game. And the numbers bear it out. This, according to Jeff Duncan of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, but the Super Bowl last night earned a 26.1 rating in New Orleans. That's the lowest of any market in the country and the lowest ever in New Orleans. And if you think it is just a big easy thing, you're a little too simple. This is interesting. CBS last night drew a 44.9 overnight rating for Pats Rams. That's the lowest. It was the lowest scoring Super Bowl yet. Now, the last time they had a number as far as ratings that drew that low, Steelers-Cardinals in 2009. So for me, it's absolutely proof that I was wrong, and Jeff Horchek of KLFY, amongst others, were right last week. I didn't think that everything we saw with the no-call would have that tangible an effect on ratings nationwide. I figured it would almost strictly just be a New Orleans and then maybe a Midwest thing with Kansas City in that market. But very interesting. The combination of shady circumstances leading in and a boring clean up my slobber type of game last night because I'm drooling on the couch affair led to some of the worst ratings that we've ever seen. Nonetheless, to the victors go the spoils, and we're going to let you hear from the New England Patriots first. This is Bill Belichick, and as he tells you, he's awfully proud of his team that is 6 Super Bowls in 9 tries for the Patriots.
I'll just start out by saying how proud I am of our football team, coaching staff, just the entire organization. You know, these guys have worked so hard all year, going all the way back to the off-season program in April, and you know, just grinding it out day after day. Players have come in; they worked extremely hard. We've had our ups and downs over the course of the year, but in the biggest moments when we had to play our best football and compete the hardest, they did it.
And then, of course, there's the quarterback, Tom Brady. If you watched, and I did, last night on CBS, post-game was the most entertaining part. Tracy Wolfson getting stampeded by a bunch of photographers. Tom Brady neglecting her interview at every turn possible. And then, of course, there was the kiss heard around the world, but more on that later in the hour. Here, we're going to let Brady go in on the MVP of Super Bowl 53, wide receiver Julian Edelman.
He's an awesome player, great teammate, friend, and just so proud of everything that he's done for our team. And, you know, just had an incredible game.
A few more. And right now, I'll stay on the New England side for one more beat, Gronk. The obvious question was asked, is this your last game?
Tonight, it's about celebrating with my teammates. And that decision will be made in a week or two, you know, down the future. Because tonight, that's what it's about, is celebrating with my teammates. And that's what I'm worried about tonight. We're going to have a good time. Bill told me he's partying tonight, so you know it's going to be good.
I would love to see Gronk party with Bill Belichick. I would actually pay money just to watch that. And if Gronk says that he's concentrating and focused on a party, good Lord. Katie, bar the door and watch out for your wives, your girlfriends, possibly your daughters as well. So Gronkowski, I thought a lot of people saying going into the game, slowing down. I agreed with that, obviously. But he looked good when they needed him last night and certainly set up the only touchdown of the game, which was authored by Sony Michel. So 13-3 the final, and obviously on the other side, that's going to leave defenders in the Rams feeling as if they played well enough to win. And the now two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, well, he was pretty blunt when he said, we should have won.
In my mind, we were supposed to win this game, you know, but we didn't. They made more plays than we did, and, you know, it sucks, you know, because, like I said, this is what you work for, to play in this game, to be on this stage, and then when you feel like you ain't did enough to help your team, to win that and be a part of, you know, success, you know, it just make you want to, you know, get better, find ways to get better, and I know we'll be back, so we just got to keep working.
You know, another big storyline. I'm going to let you hear briefly from Sean McVay here, coach of the Rams. It'll lead me into something else that I took away from last night. But here, McVay tells you, and you didn't expect this from the Wonderkin, did you? I got outcoached.
Yeah, they've done a good job with that, you know, really with the stunts and different things. And then, you know, they mixed it up. You know, they had played almost exclusively some man coverage principles and decided to take away. And really in the early downs, all they ended up doing was, you know, playing some single high buzz structures and some quarters principles. And then, you know, third down, they had their designers and things like that. But they did a great job. It was a great game plan. And, you know, no other way to say it, but I got outcoached tonight.
Now, if you listen to every morsel there and all the vernacular from football, McVay's telling you that defensively, the patch showed him things that he wasn't ready for, didn't expect. He says he got outcoached because he's an offensive guy and his offense, you know, scored 3 points. I look at the other side, and that intrigued me last night. Did you notice that the Patriots, maybe when they got the sense of how this game was going to go, the type of quarters it was going to be played in, the Patriots went tight end, two tight ends, and fullback. Devlin played a ton last night. And so with all the high-flying, high-scoring offenses, who won the Super Bowl last night? The team that lined up and played a Les Miles-style game. Just call it like it is. The defense was spectacular. The special teams was better than average. And they didn't turn it over, except for that first possession with Brady. They just kept battering, ramming ahead. Now, the difference in the Miles structure and what we saw from Belichick and the offense from Josh McDaniels last night, they used their slot receiver, I mean, to perfection. Why it took so long for the Rams to double him, I'll never know. But that was another interesting aspect of last night's game. The more physical team at the point of attack, which used multiple tight ends, which used a fullback, which used heavy personnel in the modern NFL, won it all. Interesting. So you could spread it out all you want. You could throw it, go wildcat all you want. But last night, the highest scoring offense that the league had to offer got smacked in the mouth because the other side decided they were going to play a heavy, heavy front. I just found that part interesting. All right, a couple shout outs. Then we're heading into our first break of the hour. I always, at the end of our 4 o'clock hour, I like to get to the Village Station. I got to say, I stopped by this weekend en route to Abbeville, needed a good bottle of wine, got a good bottle of wine, saw my friend Charles there, so thanks again to the Village Station. Yeah, look, they are your final stop for a reason. And also to our new friends here at the program, to Aaron and Company at Junior's Transmissions here in Carncrow. They really took care of some good friends of ours recently, so they listened to the show, and we wanted to make sure we salute them. All right, quick break. Then we're coming right back in. A guy that doesn't need much introduction. Ruffin Rodriguez, when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming back on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Back in for break and ready for our next guest. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. It's time for our friend, Ruffin Rodrigue, owner of Ruffino's on the River and somebody who loves the Hub City. How are you, Ruffin?
Doing well. I just woke up from I fell asleep during some game last night. It was so boring. I actually just woke up.
I think there might have been a record for the number of grown men drooling in America at the same time last night, set.
It was absolutely the most painful. And I know a lot of Saints fans were boycotting and this and that, but I don't think my TV registers for it. I think my brilliant 10-year-old son figured out a way how to get it without them packing in or whatever. So we didn't count it, but I could tell you, I mean, prop bets were fun, Ben. I mean, I love the prop bets. I'm 7-for-7 on the national anthem. It is the easiest thing in the world. It is if it's a diva singing, it is over because it's all about them, and they hold those notes, and Gladys held the last note for 25 seconds. Last year, the country singer guy, whatever, under like 10 seconds because it's about the anthem and not them. Every year, that's my prop bet.
So if anybody went in on first player to score a touchdown last night, they were waiting into the fourth quarter. That wasn't a fun one.
No, man, it was just a brutally great defensive game. I mean, you have two pretty good quarterbacks. Obviously, it would have been better to see Drew Brees than Jared Goff. But all in all, man, it's got, you know, the NFL got what they deserve. I don't know when the ratings come out, but I would think it's the worst in years.
It's the worst since 2009, and New Orleans as a city registered its worst ever, and New Orleans was the worst market in the country in terms of viewership.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, people still have Super Bowl part. The only thing I felt bad for a lot of the grocery stores and convenience stores who sell a lot of beer and chips and stuff like that. If they had bad sales, well, then that's tough on them. But you know, we close every Super Bowl Sunday because it's just fine dining. It's just hard to get people out for that day. And I try to watch it. Man, I watched it because Andrew Whitworth and Michael Brockers, who happen to be captains, both from LSU on the field. What an honor for them. You know, right before that, two guys from LSU. You get one of my buddies and teammates, Kevin Mawai, and one of my dad's friends and played a little before, Johnny Robinson, both inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame. So we had pretty good showing for LSU this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of reasons to celebrate. And how about Danny Etling getting a Super Bowl ring? But I'm going to toss you a question, Ruffin, that we haven't discussed on the show yet, but I've been asked off the air. If 9-6 LSU over Bama in November 2011 was still good football, even though it was defensive-oriented, was last night like that at all, or why was it different if not?
Because it wasn't as physical. I just didn't see the – I mean, the only physical play was the guy that wrote – the guy with two names, and he got called for head-to-head contact. And I didn't think it was. That was the only really big physical play of the game. I mean, it was just a dink and dunk. Both, you know, Sue had a couple of big hits. Played well, but the Rams just couldn't figure out what Belichick was doing on defense. Man, he was. You heard Witt. He's like, man, we hadn't seen that before. Well, of course you haven't. It's Bill Belichick. He wants to win the Super Bowl. He's a madman for it. He has a formula that nobody else has, and when he goes, I don't think anybody else will ever touch him.
I want to come back to the Pats and Super Bowl 53 in a moment. Our guest right now, Ruffin Rodrigue, and I got to tell you, my man, I was out at Ruffino's on the River earlier today. I love going into that place and there's nobody there. Don't get me wrong. When it's rocking, it's even better. Yeah. But I got to see it when it was pristine. It was quiet today. The water was calm. It looks beautiful out there.
Yeah, but you know, one day if lunch warrants, lunches have changed so much. Chick-fil-A and Raising Cane's have changed the world of lunch for restaurants. It's really hard. A lot of power lunches are going. It's all quick service. So that's why we decided to go dinner only at Ruffino's, and it's worked out. And people can come enjoy the patio and a drink at 3, and the kitchen opens at 4:30. But you're right, man. Sitting out there on the patio with the beautiful weather, and the city's really taking care of the river and the new bulkhead across the river. It's really a beautiful sight. And when it's a full moon, man, we got to start planning some full moon parties out in the garden, because the moon is right over the river, and it looks like it's about as big. It looks like one of those orange big sky moons every time it comes in because of where we are in Lafayette.
It's going to be a great basketball, baseball season, and going into the summer over at Ruffino's on the River, there's no question about that. I encourage all our listeners, check out the website, the full menu, book your parties, RuffinosLafayette.com. All right, if I were to suggest to you that Bill Belichick's the greatest pro football coach of all time and that Tom Brady's the greatest pro football quarterback of all time, would you agree on both fronts?
Brady, yes, because, I mean, it's just nobody's even close to him. Brilliance, the way he runs the offense, the way he can just take hits, the way he's got eyes in the back of his head. Pretty good recruiter. He got Giselle, his wife. I mean, the guy is about as amazing human being as you'll find. I know a lot of people think he's arrogant maybe, but when I see him speaking to kids, man, I see nothing but his soul and heart being poured out to him. So, which tells me he's a really good father. And, I've heard stories about him being this incredible father like Drew Brees. But as far as all-time greatest, yes, because of the numbers and what he's done. It's just, you can't compare. Joe did a lot of stuff. Joe had Jerry. Every year he had the same players. Brady's got to do this with guys he doesn't know every year. Back then, you knew everybody. You played every game. Every year, you had the same guy. Same as Pittsburgh. You had Franco Harrison. You had Terry Bradshaw. You had Rocky. It was all the same. This free agency has changed. So for Brady to be doing what he's doing in free agency, I think is it absolutely puts him at the best. And with Bill Belichick, yes. I mean, not to host the interview before the game. I just laugh because the girl asked him one question, and it was the most blatantly like just nothing answer. And I think he gives her a hint to say, are we done? Belichick is a trip, man. Oh, but he can coach. I mean, he can coach football, and best ever.
All right, I'll segue now. LSU football and recruiting's the next order on the menu, right? Wednesday's National Signing Day. They're making a push, most notably for Ishmael Sopcsa at a meet. I think if you read between the lines right now, the suggestions are LSU's maxed out and done all they can do, but that maybe, just maybe, it's not going to be enough. So as we keep watching these LSU-Alabama recruiting battles, how do you reflect? For a while, I mean, the battleground was Monroe, North Louisiana. Now it seems to be Tangipahoa Parish.
No, yeah, so it comes in spurts, man. Is Sopcsa leaning towards Alabama? Is that what you're telling?
That's kind of what we've been told, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look. Something about signing his brother or something too. Is that still in the mix?
I think his brother's actually going to reclassify, and that might not be a consideration. But it definitely is between LSU and Bama. Nobody's ready to call it yet, but people are more sure about the other kid at A-Meet, the receiver, than they are Sopcsa.
And for LSU,
right?
Well, they'll probably get both. Then they'll get the receiver in with Sopcsa. That's my call.
Okay.
I don't know anything. I read where they were good friends, and it may be hard for them to separate. Look, man, we got to get these kids to stay in Louisiana, and Billy's got to do the same thing in Lafayette. Keep the Louisiana kids here because you can win a lot of championships with them. Don't drift off too much. Now, linemen, you have to go out and get some. We don't have a whole bunch of offensive linemen in the state, but. I think they're going to fill up this class with the rest of who they want and have a couple of surprises on top of that.
Well, let's go to UL. We'll finish there since you mentioned Billy Napier and company. They've got this window, in my opinion, Ruffin, where they can kind of be the underdog a little bit, right, where they can rebuild in terms of recruiting from a place where Hudspeth left the program. But pretty soon they keep winning Western Division championships. They keep recruiting at the level they're at. They're going to be the hunted. So as you watch them kind of make that transition and evolution, what do you think about it?
Number one, we've got to get fans in the stadium, man. You know, last year started off slow, so people turned off real quick. Even at the restaurant, the game would be on, and customers would be at the bar and be like, oh, you want to watch the UL game? Oh, it's on? I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. You're wearing a UL shirt, you know? So we got to get the fan base back. And Billy's that kind of guy. Let's get him riled up. He needs to come out with the guns slinging this year. And that means putting a lot of points on a lot of people and having that big upset. Who did they play in the SEC this year?
They've got Mississippi State, and they're playing them in the Superdome.
Yeah. Big win over Mississippi State would be huge, huge for Cajun Nation in Lafayette. That's one you have to look forward to. That and just beating the snot out of people, man. When you got this kind of talent, those kind of coaches, man, just really make a mark to where ESPN starts picking up your games, you know, and become that national. That's what those kids want. They want to be on TV, man. Get the national spotlight. You get the press, and you never know what could happen. I'm a huge Billy Napier fan. Not only because he's a neighbor to the restaurant and Rufino's right there in River Ranch, but he is a solid human being and fun to talk to about football. He gets so excited. A lot more fun than his predecessor, his mentor Nick Saban, who I'm friends with. But, whew, man, you know, when he puts that big red band chew tobacco in his mouth, kind of hard to talk to him.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to get Billy Wednesday for National Signing Day. So we'll tell him you said hello, and then maybe all of us will pow out. Rufino's on the river soon.
Yeah, I'd love to come see him. Yeah, I'm going to come see him. I need to see Billy. He and Rob, and I'm really looking forward to the future of Cajun football.
Ruffin, you know we appreciate the time. Have a great rest of your week.
You too, brother.
Ruffin Rodri, owner of Rufino's on the River, and the tree is still up, but it's Mardi Gras themed. We're coming right back, throwing shade, taking your phone calls. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Amped up after talking with Ruffin Rodri. That's just the way it is every Monday. Glad we had him aboard, and glad you're with us here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Phone lines open between now and 6:15. That's when Shamit Dua will join the program. Of course, you can always catch his work, Bourbon Street Shots. That's why we're having him on. We got to let him give his take, his thoughts on the latest quote-unquote Godfather offer from the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes, they have up the ante. Magic Johnson, the Rob Lowe lookalike, and Rob Pelinka. They've upped the ante, no question. But it's still not going to be enough. If you don't want to take my word for it, I'll let Shamit Dua share reasons why at 6:15. And then Brad Boyd, Southside High Basketball, going to talk all area hoops with us at 6:30. You don't want to miss it. But before we get to any more, when it comes to the Super Bowl, when it comes to Anthony Davis, LSU, UL basketball, I've carved out a little time to remind you, it's a local PSA that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. You can trust them inside your home to beautify things outside your home. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings while Todd puts up your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, they're ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to PatioCenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at PatioCenter.com.
Oh, we've got a lot to get to today. In fact, I'm going to start somewhere where you probably weren't expecting. North Carolina State basketball. They were the number 23 team in the country this last week. They were hosting a rather large ACC game. They were at home against number 12 Virginia Tech. You could lose, sure, but beyond that, nothing could go that horribly wrong. Right? Wrong. NC State scored 24 points in a men's basketball game. A total of 24 points. They played 40 minutes of basketball. It's the Wolfpack's worst scoring output of the shot clock era. This was an absolute, I mean, just ice performance from the field. NC State made 9 shots in the entire ballgame. 9. One of the top 25 teams in the country. They shot less than 17% from the field, 2 of 28 from deep. So I'm throwing shade at NC State. I know the ACC is good at basketball. Heck, they always are. 9 made shots, 24 points. Tremont Waters had 36 on his own last week in College Station. This was a woeful performance for the ages. The last two bits of shade that I've got in my pocket and I'm ready to throw center around Tom Brady. One is probably on him. The other was shown on him. Let's get to the latter first. According to a report from the mothership, a Kansas City Chiefs fan was able to sneak a laser pointer into the AFC title game in Arrowhead and was repetitively able to shine that laser pointer onto Tom Brady, into Tom Brady's helmet, into his eyes. And I'm throwing shade that he was able to get in one. I'm throwing shade at some moron who takes his right, his privilege, whatever you want to call it, to sit in the seat as some kind of avenue to do this kind of buffoonery. But I am going to give credit to the Chiefs because they found this person and have banned him from all future Kansas City Chief Holmes games for life. So good on the Chiefs for making good on this on the back end. But wow, for any individual to come and ruin the spirit of play like that. Look, we all talk about having the next version of, what is it, our guy Dan Aykroyd and company, where they go steal Damon Wayans. We all talk about pulling a Celtic pride, right? But you don't actually do that. You don't actually bring a laser pointer into the game. So I'm throwing shade at that individual. And you know we're going to get here, Clint. I'll get your input as well. Tom Brady kissing Robert Kraft on the lips in the aftermath of Super Bowl 53. I was blown away by it. We saw a very sincere embrace from Brady to Edelman, then Brady to Belichick, then Brady to Kraft. We even saw one with Brady and a former teammate who's now playing for the Los Angeles Rams who came on over. So Brady had love for everybody. And there's one thing I do understand, Clint. They know that all eyes and especially all ears and mics are on them. So part of the reason they get in close is they could say things that won't be lip-read or heard, right? I get that too. But can there really be any rationale for one grown man kissing another grown man on the mouth like that in that situation? I am still flummoxed by everything that I saw.
Yeah, that was just weird. Right when I saw it, I was like, wait, what is going on here? Why is this happening on my television? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I had somebody text me and said, you know what? If I was a seventh round or whatever, sixth round pick, and I found a way to make that amount of money in my career, I'd probably kiss the man on the mouth that made that possible too. And I said, no. No, we're not playing from the same play sheet here. We're on different playbooks because that's not the direction that I would go there. So pay all the homage that you need to Robert Kraft. I've even heard of kissing the ring, and now both of you have 6 of them. So if you want to kiss the man's ring, I'm good with that as well. But TB12, I'm sorry to see you go out that way, brother. Nobody needed that.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Public displays of championship affection. There's a right way, and then there's the TB12 way. We're going to take our final break of the hour. When we return, we'll get some of your phone calls in, and we'll discuss that Lakers offer made to Dell Demps and the Pelicans today. You're listening to Bumper Sports. Coming right back on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
The Lakers want Anthony Davis something fierce. I think their latest offer shows that they're serious. I just don't think it's an offer I would take. We'll go there, and then I'll answer a question from the Twittersphere, if that's how you even say it. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. We'll actually go to Twitter first. In respect to my man, Theo Fisher. He's joined us in fantasy football leagues before, and earlier today he asked the show this. Ben, a friend and I were talking during the Super Bowl, and I posed this question. Which loss is worse for the Saints, the no-call or the Diggs TD last year? I know the no-call is fresher, but which do you think? CD, I'll engage you on this one, guy. I think the tougher ending for the Saints to swallow has got to be the Rams game because, and I've said this before, you were your own worst enemy at the end of the Vikings game and the other team did you in. You weren't necessarily, in every sense of it, your own worst enemy at the end of the Rams game. Officiating did you in, and I know that the paranoid type are going to tell you that the League of Shadows, no, the NFL, did you in. So for a lot of reasons, it's a good question, Theo. I think they were both breathtaking moments, but you still had chances after the Rams game. But the fact that you're always able to point back to the refs, the fact that you always could point back to that, I think that's tougher because you at least had a chance to control your own destiny at the end of the Vikings game. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the biggest thing. You had a chance to control your own destiny in the Rams game. But, of course, I think it's just the fact that this was out of your hands. I mean, we look at it, the walk-off that kind of happened in that Vikings game. That you really couldn't necessarily come back from. That was overtime. Game was over after that. It's all about what happened in that moment in time. This was not in your hands. You wound up having the refs put this game out of reach, almost quite literally. Because, mind you, they could have still gone for it, but it wouldn't have been nearly as fruitful. But it would have been first and goal if that pass interference call was made. It'd be a automatic first down. I think that's the biggest thing that everybody's going to wind up talking about for years to come is that loss hurts a lot more than the loss we saw last year against Minnesota.
All right, I'll move it on now because I do want to get to the latest news surrounding Anthony Davis. And by the way, it didn't occur to me at first, but it's very clear to me now. The association, why they shouldn't love the way this is being done, how public it all is, the tampering that just seems to be dripping and oozing from this situation, all of the discussion that is generated by Anthony Davis and his management saying that I'm ready to go, spring me loose, the association is getting a lot more attention right now. And it might not always be good, right? I totally get the fact that it might be a little more infamy than famous, right? But they're getting a lot of eyeballs right now. And there's nobody hotter in the world of the NBA than Anthony Davis, and as far as reporting on him, Adrian Wojnarowski of the Mothership. And Woj, one of many that's reporting the Pels have made a new offer. In fact, some are referring to it as a godfather offer, and it's one that includes Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Rajon Rondo, who was with the Pels last season, Lance Stevenson, and two first-round draft picks. So the latest olive branch that's been extended from the Lakers brass. Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka is the offering that I just shared with you. But I think there's still an understanding in NBA circles, even Woj kind of indicating as much, that the Pels appreciate the improved offer from the first one, but that this still isn't going to be enough. Because here's the thing. In terms of the right amount of young players and the right amount of first-round draft picks, yes, that offer is going to hit the right notes. But there are two problems in my mind. The biggest of them is very simple. Which of those young players that's coming west to east has the chance to be a perennial all-star year in and year out? I'm not sure any of them do. Brandon Ingram has a chance to be a very good pro basketball player for a while. Probably not an all-star. Kyle Kuzma, maybe even a rung on the ladder below that. Lonzo Ball, maybe another rung. So forget about the fact that LaVar Ball is screaming at every camera that'll have him and saying, I want my son to go to Phoenix. Well, we don't care what you think. You don't have a say in this matter. If the Lakers deal you to New Orleans and you want to be a malcontent a la Eric Gordon, it will deal with it from there. But you're not the big fish. You're a guppy in this matter, LaVar. Anthony Davis is the big fish, and he's got to attract something in return that makes sense. And this offer for me doesn't scratch off the list, perennial young all-star. And we'll get to Boston in a moment, why I think that they remain the perfect fit, because that's the number one thing that you have to get back. A new young player, a cornerstone to hang your hat on if you're the New Orleans Pelicans. None of those Lakers get me that excited. The other part, the Lakers are not a bad team this year. Where's their first-round draft pick going to be? The Lakers giving you their first-round draft pick will probably end up being, I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 17 overall. The back end of the lottery, the front end of, well, not the lottery, right? 15 to 17. So I'm not sure how much that's going to excite you. What the Pelicans need, frankly, is an opportunity to get a young but proven player in the association and one of the top 3 to 5 draft picks. If they can find that combination from a team out there, that's your trading partner here, right? That's the one that you're going to go to bed with, so to speak, in this situation, because that's the best situation for you. If you could replace Anthony Davis with Jason Tatum from Boston and a top 3 to 5 draft pick, that's the way to go. Can Boston find a way to help deliver you that draft pick? Probably not as currently constituted. Might have to offload Kyrie Irving for that to be the case. But that's going to be something we all continue to monitor. Just how high can the Pels climb in their asking price here? Because all the goods that I just listed, to be honest with you, it might actually be equivalent value. Stevenson and Rondo as your veterans that'll be around the franchise for the next 2 to 3 years, hardworking, defensive-minded players, along with three players that would form a decent young nucleus. Now, how decent? That's another question. Because without LeBron, that decent nucleus was god-awful last year for the Lakers. So, again, if you plugged it in, it might be equivalent value when you consider two first-round picks. But that's not what this is about. It's not about getting equivalent value. It's about getting that young star for the future and a high enough draft pick to really make a difference. So I did want to make sure that we introduced this to you, the Lakers' latest quote-unquote godfather offer. But I'm going to verbatim quote my main man, going Rashad style on you there, Ahmad Rashad style. I'm going to quote Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, because I think he absolutely crushed this one. He said the definition of a godfather deal is one that by nature you can't refuse. Andrew proceeded to say, I can absolutely see the Pelicans refusing this deal. Can't say it any better than that. Hit the money on the head. Andrew, that's perfect. He's absolutely right that the Pels are likely to reject this deal. They're going to have to wait until this summer. That's the right way to handle this. If the Pelicans make a deal for Anthony Davis over the next 3 days, and that's the shelf life of this thing, right? A little more than 3 days. Somewhere in like the next 78-hour range, right? 3 days, and then we get to midnight. I think that's technically the cutoff. I don't think it's one of those 3, 4, 5 p.m. deals, but Clint will tell me if I'm wrong there. But some point on the 7th, so that's this Thursday, it is act or get off the pot time. We'll put it that way. I'm hoping that the Pelicans get off the pot and wait until the end of the season. That's the right way to handle it. The Lakers are upping the ante, and that's great. But they're still not getting the Pelicans what they need for their future. And there's the whole part about Dell Demps still being around as the general manager. That's going to have to change because I think you want whoever is going to be mixing the ingredients of this team in terms of GM, in terms of head coach. I think you want them to be the ones to select the groceries as well. So we got a chance to maybe see this thing through if, and it is a big if at this point, Demps, Mickey Loomis can exercise just a little bit of patience, and you might have to ignore a couple of Magic Johnson text, emails, however he wants to send you his latest offer. By the way, he doesn't have much else left to give you. You might have to find a way to ignore some of those. All right, we're just about 2 hours in. Busy 6 o'clock hour coming up. As we mentioned, Shamit Dua, lead writer, Bourbon Street Shots. He'll be with us at 6:15. And we're going back-to-back, two-thirds of the way to a full Tommy Mansky there. Back-to-back guest after Shamit at 6:15. It'll be our good friend Brad Boyd at 6:30. I saw Coach Boyd not long ago at the Carrickgrove St. Thomas More game. We'll get him to go in on the Golden Bears, the Cougars, their prospects as they head toward the playoffs, plus the surprise team from this area. And I've talked to him about this off the air. The answer, as it's intended to, might just surprise you. So we got guests sandwiched into the middle of our 6 o'clock hour. When we come back, a little ode to the end of football season, and we'll keep taking your calls as well at 706-0111. We got one more hour to go, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and via the free 103.7 The Game mobile app presented by Visit Avery Island.
Interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the Delta Media Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Carrickgrove, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Rolling into hour number three. I'm Ben Love, joined by the famous Clint D. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, taking you home on a Monday, February the 4th on 1037 The Game. One more hour to go from inside the 237 Roof Studios. We've got guests coming up at 6:15, Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. We'll talk Anthony Davis and the Pels. At 6:30, Brad Boyd, head basketball coach at Southside High School. He'll give us a scouting report on some of the best and brightest from our Acadiana area as we're over the hump. We're going into the second half of district play, and that can only mean one thing. We are inching closer to the playoffs when it comes to boys basketball. But I want to lead off with an ode to the 2018 football season. It is now officially in the rear view. Clint and I asked you a question bordering on an hour and a half ago. Our sacred swim question of the day, are you relieved this football season is over? The response on social media from our callers has been an overwhelming yes, also translated as swim. People are relieved that football season is over. It was, in many ways, an overachieving season. I said this as well in the 4 o'clock hour. I pegged the Cajuns at 6 wins regular season. In August, they won 7. I had LSU at 8. They won 9. Asterisks, just about 10 with the A&M game. I had the Saints at 12, higher than many of you had them. They won 13. This, by and large, was a season of overachievement. It was not, however, a season of championships. And the way it ended, LSU at A&M, Saints in the NFC title game, there's just a bit of a bad taste in the mouth. So for some of you, it might be fatigue, but for others of us, It's just that things didn't end as well as they could have, and it doesn't feel like the teams were necessarily all at fault on their own, that there were external forces, things that they couldn't control between the lines that maybe did them in. But here is my ode to the 2018 football season. And I'll start at the top with the NFL franchise we frequent on the show. Sean Payton, you pulled so many of the right strings. Your 2018 draft class wasn't as potent as your 2017 draft class. And yes, your offense certainly tailed off a little toward the end. But this was a Saints team for the ages. And you gave us some of the best snark on the sideline, in postgame press conferences, and even with your undershirt selection that we've ever seen. Your snark, sir, is unparalleled. And your team was the best in football for about 18 or 19 weeks. Drew Brees, you set records. And I mean numerous records. And you still have more to come. You're the classiest dude on the block. You can literally find Michael Thomas open with your eyes closed. Your arm strength concerns me a great deal. But I understand. Like Mike Gundy said, you're a man. You're 40. You're getting older. But you're still good enough to get this team where they want to go. Moving on to LSU. Ed Ogeron, your team leapt over the bar that I set for you in the preseason. Your offense, more often than not, impressed. You tabbed your buddy, Steve Ensminger, as offensive coordinator, and it did not blow up in your face. In fact, it went a lot more swimmingly than when you were forced to trot out Matt Canada at the same position. You took a young offensive line, you took an unproven group of running backs, and you had a rushing attack that was better than many of us saw coming. You took a new quarterback, and he guided you to some new heights, but in some big places fell flat. You also, like your predecessor, seem to be allergic to Alabama, especially in Tiger Stadium. But we're not going to hold that against you. That's more of a Nick Saban thing. All in all, Ed Ogeron, you deserve the recent extension that was just handed down to you. If you want more paper, you'll have to prove that in the 2019 season. Dave Aranda, I wish this state could give you more money. There's not a lot more I have to say about that. But in this ode to LSU football, what you continue to do with this defense and the overall direction of LSU's football team is incredible. And like the former head coach that you served in Les Miles, you also struggle against Alabama with your new head coach in Ed Ogeron. But it's really not as much your fault. It's really not. Moving on to the Raging Cajuns. Billy Napier, your team also leapt over a number of preseason bars. Picked to finish fourth in the Sun Belt West, you won the division. You continued what's become a winning tradition for UL at ULM. You continued what's become a UL tradition in beating Arkansas State in Lafayette. Yes, you dropped a head-scratching game to Coastal Carolina, but you found a way in year one to take a team that really didn't have the quarterback it probably would most desire, to take a defense that wasn't anywhere near, from a personnel standpoint, what Ron Roberts would like. You found a way to take that team, and you won the Western Division. You led UL to its first ever playoff game outside of the city of New Orleans. And with what you're going to top off on Wednesday during the regular signing period, you've got a lot of people in Cajun Nation looking forward to the future of the program. Finally, I'm going to land on high school football. To those that allowed me to call their games in some capacity, Karen Crow, Kaplan, LCA, many thanks. It was a fun ride. I have promised Tank Lotief to never step foot near his team in the state semifinals again. That's a jinx I won't wish on the Pirates anymore. Too good of a football program. Need to stop doing that to them. But we had a lot of fun this year. St. Thomas More to the Dome, one of the most memorable regular season and early postseason runs in a while. And it led to one of the most memorable Dome affairs in a long time. So to the teams that took it home from this area, most notably LCA, Notre Dame, congratulations. And then, of course, Eunice, the Bobcats, with the first state title since the early 80s. So to high school football, you were the best part of this football season, at least in one man's humble opinion. UL, LSU, the Saints, yeah, we all spent a lot more money there. We traveled to watch their games outside of this footprint. If you went to Baton Rouge, if you went to New Orleans, if you went to Road, Saints, Tigers games, you probably invested more time and more money. But I'll continue to say, nobody invests more heart in anything than compared to high school sports. For me, it remains undefeated. All right, enough of that. That's my ode to the football season. I've said my piece, and yes, now I'm ready for you to fade away and drift off into the rear view. I'm ready for some basketball. Absolutely. And that's why we're going to have Shamit Dua, Brad Boyd, back-to-back guests. Do not go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Quarter after 6 o'clock, we're right back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And yeah, when you hear the Big Timers music, that means it's time to head down to New Orleans. Aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline, Shamit Dua, lead writer, BourbonStreetShots.com. How are you, Shamit?
I'm doing great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing well. Before we get to all the trade possibilities, how about the latest news? Earlier this afternoon, Alvin Gentry told reporters, and you might have been there, but Anthony Davis has been cleared to practice. Does that mean he's also been cleared to play?
As Alvin Gentry said, that's a decision that's going to come from above him. That's going to be an organizational decision, and I think as long as these trade talks are going, at least for the next few days, Anthony Davis is definitely not going to play, and if nothing happens, they'll reevaluate what the best course of action is, but it's my personal opinion that Anthony Davis has already played his last game as a Pelican and he will not see the floor again.
And I share that opinion. I think you have to protect your best asset. Let's look now into the possibility of a trade between now and the end of Thursday. Is the only team that could possibly get a deal done with the Pels in that period of time the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, they certainly think so. I think the probability of a deal happening at all is slim to none. I think the Lakers are very motivated. They know the Celtics are on the horizon if this deal stretches out into the summer. They know New York's going to be a factor in the summer, so they're very motivated to get this done. The Pelicans, on the other hand, are in no rush at all. Now, it's possible that some other team comes in from left field and blows the Pelicans away, but there are just so few teams with that type of motivation and the necessary assets to make the Pelicans go, yay, you know what? We're not going to wait anymore for the summer. We're going to do this right now.
Our guest, Shamit Dua. You need to follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at Fear the Brown. Your take on the latest reported Lakers offer that came through today, and from what I understand, it's Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, Stevenson, Rondo, and two first-round picks. Is that enough, and why or why not?
So I think your evaluation of if that is enough or not has to hinge upon how you view those players. It's my personal opinion that none of those players are all-star caliber players. I think they'll end up being fine. NBA players have a long career in the league, but they're not. I don't think they're anything special. I don't think, you know, we've seen Brandon Ingram for the last 3 years. He's developed incrementally, but he still has a lot to show on defense. He has a lot to show when it comes to shooting. He hasn't reached that yet. Lonzo Ball is in his second year, and he's shooting 40% from the free throw line. It's kind of a mess. So, like, these players are, you know, on the surface, you're like, wow, all these players and all these picks. But when you really dig down into it, each individual asset, none of them are really good.
And see, I would tend to agree. I'll let you kind of weigh in on my thought process here. I believe the Pelicans absolutely have to get a young cornerstone, perennial all-star player out of this deal, as well as a top draft pick, somewhere between 1 and 10. I don't think the Lakers can offer them that, but do you think they'll be able to get that combination what I just described?
I think if they wait until the summer, they'll have two suitors in New York and Boston that can get them very close to the kind of package that you mentioned. I think if you deal with Boston, which I still think is the most likely outcome out of all of this, they have Jason Tatum, who fits the bill of a young all-star level player who's projected to be, you know, the cornerstone that you want out of this trade. They have a boatload of picks, not just their own, but from other teams. They have future Memphis picks, and Memphis isn't looking too good right now. They have the Kings pick. They have the Clippers pick. So they have a lot of assets in addition to Jason Tatum, who is absolutely a cornerstone. And they can offer more young players like Jaylen Brown. And shoot, they may even offer former All-Star Gordon Hayward to match salary. So they have a lot going on and a great mix of future picks, young players, and players who are ready to contribute now. Now, I do think people kind of underrate New York as a factor. I think if New York wins the draft lottery or has a top three pick, they absolutely have an offer that the Pelicans should consider. They can offer their top pick this coming year, and, you know, if that's the number one pick, you're looking at Zion Williamson, who everyone has been talking about. They can offer Dennis Smith Jr., who they just acquired from the Dallas trade. They can offer Kevin Knox and a bunch of other young players that to match the salary. And if they get Anthony Davis, you'd have to put them in the front seat for landing Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
All right, so, Schmidt, my next question to you. We know that a lot of people's pappies have been talking here. You can't stop Lonzo Ball's dad from talking, but what about Anthony Davis's father? His comments on the Celtics, I mean, did that come out of left field for you, and could they possibly have any bearing on the proceedings?
I don't think it has any bearing on the proceedings. I think this is all very calculated. I think this is all planned. I think Anthony Davis and those around him, including his father, but mostly his representation, are doing every single thing it takes to try to get him to the Lakers. They're trying to push every button. They're trying to pull every lever. They are trying to do what they can to convince the Pelicans that offer in the summer is not going to be there because we're threatening to walk, and Boston will be hesitant to offer all those things. And it's in your best interest to deal him now. But really, the only people who are in a rush to do this are, of course, Anthony Davis and the Lakers.
So what's going to happen next? Let's say this thing makes it past Thursday. What are some of the next things? I know that, one, they'll have to decide whether or not to play him. But how do you think this thing goes in terms of the hierarchy of decision makers? Is Dell Demps going to be axed sometime in the near future? Does that wait until the end of the regular season? How do some of those things unfold?
You know, it's tough to project that. I do know that Dell has full authority right now. And ownership is very involved at the moment, and very motivated. And so, you know, you hear things about Mickey Loomis being the president of basketball operations. So Loomis is definitely very involved in this process, and everything, you know, Gail Benson is being informed of everything that's going on. So if there is an event where Dell Demps doesn't make it, you know, past April or May, we still have the organizational structure in place who have been in the know with these proceedings, and they're not going to be trying to complete a deal with no knowledge. I think it's difficult to project where Dell will be, but I think they're in a good spot because it's really all hands on deck.
Coming down the stretch here with Schmidt Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. All right, so that's the situation with Dell Demps. What about Danny Ferry and the role that he plays in all of this?
I think he's a huge contributor. I think Dell has not had an assistant GM for quite some time. So when they brought in Danny Ferry, I believe it was last year, maybe a couple years ago, he was immediately a huge knowledge-based addition and someone for Dell to work with and bounce ideas off of. And Danny Ferry is a very experienced and knowledgeable GM, and he's definitely helping guide this process along. So I think he's playing a big role. He's a big voice in the room.
And then there's this whole idea that the Pelicans would be better off tanking with the rest of their regular season. For our fans, update where they are in the Western Conference and maybe, I guess, how the rest of their season could affect where they end up drafting in the first round.
So the Pelicans are definitely towards the bottom of the Western Conference right now. They haven't fully bottomed out yet, and I don't think, you know, the team will ever try to actively lose games per se. But I do think the focus is going to shift towards developing younger players. And, you know, if that results in a better draft pick, I don't think the Pelicans will mind one bit.
Anybody else on this Pelicans roster worth offloading as they consider what they want to do with Anthony Davis?
In individuality, I think the Pelicans are definitely trying to find out what they can get for Julius Randle, what they can get for Nikola Mirotic. Both those guys project to be free agents this summer, so you might as well try to get an asset, whether it's a small one or a young player, out of those guys if you can. But, you know, if nothing happens, then that's just the way the market goes.
All right, before we let you go, Shamit, have I given you ample opportunities to just smash on the Lakers organization and their fans on Twitter? Because they have been unrelenting over the last week.
They are honestly a very rowdy bunch, and they are very expectant for a deal to go through soon. And it's kind of hilarious because it's definitely not been a good sports week for LA fans. We all saw what happened in the Super Bowl. We've seen that all of their sports media coverage has been dominated by this trade. I mean, it's Super Bowl week, and everyone's talking about who's going to get traded next. We're seeing the Lakers kind of implode in their own locker room. They had a heated moment after the last game where some players and the coach got into it. It was reported that nothing got physical, but the fact that it's even happening is kind of hilarious. You know, to be mentioned in trade talks constantly has to wear on a player. Everyone wants to be wanted. And I think the Pelicans are playing it pretty perfectly with what they're telling the media and what they're choosing to share. I just don't think any of LA is in a good spot right now. They're definitely nervous. They're definitely sweating. This is their one shot to land a player to help LeBron. Otherwise, they're going to have to gamble on free agency again and again. And we've seen in years past that they've just not been successful in that.
Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. My man, you know we enjoy the time. Thanks for coming aboard.
Thank you.
I love it. And he has been fantastic on Twitter. I mean, the last few days of him just responding to Lakers fans is enough to make you want to go get the popcorn. This is as well from LeVar Ball. Why we keep giving that man a microphone says more about us than it does him. But here's what he told the mothership this afternoon. If Lonzo is traded, he wants his son to go to Phoenix. Here's the exact quote. "We want to be in LA, but if he's traded, I don't want Lonzo in New Orleans. Phoenix is the best fit for him. And I am going to speak it into existence." Well, thank you for that. And our good friend Kurt Heelan responded, "I'm going to drive a Maserati home tonight. I'm going to speak it into existence." So, look, who am I to try and stop LeVar Ball from that positive self-talk? Go ahead and talk it up all you want, but please don't think you run anything. Anthony Davis, same for your dad. They don't matter. Say what you want to the media, that perception will not become reality. Not this time. All right, we are halfway home during the 6 o'clock hour. When we return, still going to talk prep hoops. We're going to take it down to the high school level. Brad Boyd, head coach of the Southside High Sharks, joining us on the other side. And then Under the Dome with Clint Domang. What is it like to MC a Mardi Gras parade? The dude's legend grows day by day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
This radio update starts now. Monday
in the... One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
30 minutes of the program. Right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And yeah, we already talked a little bit of college basketball. We just had Shamit Dua. We talked some Anthony Davis, the Pels, the NBA. It's a mess. Let's get to where hopefully it's a little simpler. High school basketball talk. And out to the Artco Equipment Hotline, our good friend Brad Boyd, head coach of the Southside High Sharks. How are you, Coach?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I can't thank you enough for having me on, talk a little hoops, man. I'm kind of down and out, real jealous of all the local high school coaches right now going into district battling against each other and, you know, fighting for playoff spots. So it's a little bittersweet, I guess.
You're 1 year away, and we will talk about those Sharks momentarily, but I'm going to take you back to a gym where I saw you a couple of weeks ago. I think it was the game of the week in the area, Carencro at St. Thomas More. Let's go both sides of the ledger there. What do you see from Christopher Kovach's Golden Bears team? We know that they lost, five kids that are playing somewhere right now in the college basketball ranks, but they start over with Joe Charles and a pretty talented cast. What do you make of this Carencro team?
Well, first of all, I don't think Coach Kovach gets enough credit for the job he's done. I mean, he won a state championship last year. Everybody congratulated him. He loses five starters. And honestly, from what I've seen in the state, I think he has a great chance of being right back in the top 28 this year. You know, they play at a high level and they execute, college style sets, man, that just, if you're doing that well against high school teams, I mean, you're going to have success and they're right back at it, having another good, successful year.
So Carencro picking up where they left off, even with new pieces. For St. Thomas More, as you know, Coach, it's some of the same. And they lost that heartbreaker where we were both in the Cougar Dome. I had them this past Friday as well, and they beat Westgate in another thriller. And look, if you can compete with this Westgate team, if you can force them to play your style of basketball, your team's buying in, and it must mean that Danny Broussard's up to his old tricks as well. So you know him as well as anybody, but what type of team are they this year in your mind?
Well, I actually spoke to Danny a couple of weeks back, and they're a very young team, you know, a couple of seniors. He said they were struggling to shoot the ball, which they have been over the last couple of games, shooting wise or whatnot. But it's don't let the 9, 10, 11 losses that it shows in their record fool you. Come playoff time, and come make another trip to the top 28. I think STM and Danny and them will be right there in the mix. He's kind of taking this, that was a great win against Westgate. It needed a good win in the district like that. And, that's what I spoke on earlier, being so jealous. I mean, those games, who wouldn't want to be, if you have any kind of competitive blood in your nature, to be in that 4A district where it's Northside every night, or Westgate every night, or Carencro every night, St. Thomas More every night, and watching you at the game call that game and how great of a game that was and how it ended on a last second shot. I mean, that kind of reminded me, like, God, I missed this year again, so just hopefully, like I said, sooner than later get back to that. But STM, Carencro, Westgate, even Northside on any given night is going to win a game here or there in the district, and all those teams should have some good success come this year's playoff.
And up until a week ago, when Danny Broussard and company went to town, Rain hadn't lost a single home game in that tough district as well. So as you know, a very well-rounded District 4-4A.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We just had Coach Caesar Rain on at a JV game last week, and he was speaking on, he said, man, if we click it, man, we're pretty good. And he said, sometimes we don't shoot well, sometimes we're on our own agenda, but he said, when our guys put it together, he can compete with anybody in the district. And he did so last year. He came up a little short on some games here and there, but he took Westgate last year to a 2 or 3 point game, both games in the district. So, that district, man, is extremely tough. All those teams are good basketball playing schools. They all have athletic kids, and just makes it fun every night.
You can follow our current guest on Twitter at Coach Brad Boyd. All right, next year you're going to be in what I guess we know now as District 3-5A. It should be just about the same. Give us the scoop on those teams. And look, they're going to be coaches, players that you're going up against starting next year. So what do you make out of 3-5A this year?
Yeah, I mean, just another heavyweight match every night in that district. They actually do the one game district, which is seven games. Extremely, all the games are going to be extremely tough. I mean, you got a rush program in this that's good every year, and they've taken 25 charges a game. It's extremely tough to play against them, and extremely tough to play at New Iberia. And then you got Como right there, which is going to be a instant rivalry game, because just for the simple fact of, you know, the new school in Southside and, you know, the how close those schools are. So that's going to be intense battles each night. And, you know, you throw in Acadiana, Lafayette High, and Lafayette High might end up winning the district this year, and they're all sophomores, you know. So you can about imagine going forward over the next 2 years having to play against those guys. And, you know, Coach Depp is over there at Acadiana is the same way. If me and him laugh all the time, we say, man, if we ever get us a D1 player or two, we're going to be tough, because, you know, a lot of the cards that we were dealt over the last year, you know, we had some good teams, but just not those, not one guy or two guys that go and play college basketball, you know. But that just goes to show you how well of a job he does with the kids that he has, man. He's a very good coach and a disciplinarian. And, you know, go and play at Acadiana is extremely hard to win. Ask anybody in the area. So, which I'm really excited about. I know it sounds like, oh man, it's gonna be tough, but that's how I like it. I want to play the best team. We talk about the split all the time. I tell people now, don't even talk to me about it no more. I don't even want to answer no questions about it, because it's just, you know, to me, a bunch of BS, and that we need to nix that and get back to playing. You know, Louisiana basketball has fallen. Like, it is, I wish they would go to Indiana style. Everybody play everybody. Play a regular season, and then get in the playoffs and everybody play everybody. Or get rid of the PowerPoints, go back to the districts, and have this real competition where it's the real legit top 32 teams that are going to make the playoffs, and the real legit top four teams in the state in each division, or however they decide to do it, are going to play against each other come championship time. I know that was off the rant a little bit, but it just struck a nerve again with you know, speaking of playoffs and the split and all that.
It never leaves my mind. It's always on topic. That's why we've had Mike Boyer on the show recently. Robin Fambro. I think it's the most fascinating topic, despite what's going on with the Saints, the Pelicans, because this thing ain't going anywhere. And I'm hoping that it's got to get bumpy before we get to clear skies here. I'm hoping we all get back together, but it's going to be, I think, a long road to hoe. All right, Coach, we've got a few more for you. One other team in the area that's caught your attention. I think for a lot of people it's been Breaux Bridge this year, but give me one team that's not in 4-4A or 3-5A that you kind of had to perk your ears up and take notice of.
Well, I'll tell you what, this one's you're going to like this one and appreciate this one. I'm going with Opelousas Catholic.
Okay.
They are actually on pace to win the district, which they're in the district with North Central, and they upset North Central in a game a couple weeks ago. They have a really good team. And they're on the, if I'm not mistaken, Division III maybe, where they're going to fall for the playoffs, but they're right there. I think they're fifth overall in that division. And don't be surprised if OC wins three games in a row and goes to that top 28 in that Division III bracket. They're really talented. They got a sophomore by the name of Keon Coleman, who is extremely, extremely talented kid on the football field as well as the basketball court. And I've actually been mentioning his name to just random colleges here and there, and, you know, they never even heard of him yet. I'm like, man, you need to get down to watch Opelousas Catholic next year, football game and basketball game, and see this kid. I mean, he is extreme. He's averaging right at 20 points a game, and, you know, he's 6'3", and he's a really good kid. So I really like Opelousas Catholic in that Division III to make a little run in the playoffs. Too many people are talking about Opelousas Catholic basketball, and so they really have a really good team, and I look forward to them to, you know, that's my, I guess, kind of my dark horse to maybe make a top 28 run this year.
That's why we had to ask you. I didn't know what I was going to get. All right, Coach, tell me about those Southside High Sharks. I know. You're trying to bide your time. You can't wait until next year. But you got one last season of JV, and it's coming toward the end of the road. Tell me about the progress. Tell me about what you've learned about your guys.
Well, we learned that a full 34-game season, that we're right at 32 games, and we have two games left this week, that it is extremely tired. Our guys are worn out, and you can see it on the floor come the third and fourth quarters that, you know, we're just you know, hanging our tongues, you know. So we have to prepare a little different going forward next year, especially going to play against, you know, juniors and seniors now. So we're going to get in that weight room and get in a conditioning program and a little jumping program. Shout out my guy, Donald Fuselet, out of New Iberia, Westgate. He works with a lot of the area athletes, and he gave us a gift. He gave us his jumping routine that he does with all his athletes. So we're going to put that in with our guys as well. And, you know, we're sitting at, we've kind of played half JV games and half varsity games this year, depending where the games fall and in tournaments or whatnot. And we're, you know, we have an overall record of 22 wins and 9 losses. So, you know, it's pretty, pretty good mark on the wall to kind of set and hopefully, you know, get a little bit better record than that next year. But, you know, I'm just itching at the bit to get to November 2019 and start playing. I already know our first games are in the Bill Platt tournament that third weekend in November. So just trying to get back to that point. You know, we're going to do a lot this summer, like I said, lift weights, conditioning, you know, summer league camps and stuff like that, and, you know, and just keep working. It's extremely hard when you're playing any kind of team sport with a new school and building a program, and it's going to be even harder being that we're in 5A playing against the biggest schools in Louisiana, you know. So it's a tough journey, but like I said, that's the journey that we that I like. I wouldn't want it any other way. It's going to be, we always tell the guys, greater later. So, you know, you work a little harder. Come next year when our first guys graduate, and the following year, hopefully they set the bar, and that's going to be what Southside basketball is going to be, you know. So that's kind of like what we're sticking to. Got to work hard and, you know, be tough and, you know, get ready for a tough season come next year.
The countdown is on for the Southside High Sharks and their head coach, Brad Boyd, our guest. Coach, this has been a lot of fun. I know I told you this off the air, but it was great meeting your mom over at that last STM Karen Crow game. She still gets into it, brother.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. She, you know, she's been around high school basketball and basketball for probably 35, 40 years now. And, you know, she still does the book for me for our games, and she doesn't miss much. She don't miss a possession change. She doesn't miss a person not being in the book, a foul, you know. So it's a good, I mean, first of all, she's my mom and she's great. Second of all, it's just a excellent tool to have being a part of our Southside program, to, you know, always knowing that I don't have to do the book or anything like that. It's set, it's good to go, and, you know, it's definitely a plus having her around.
Well, look, if I'm ever at a game on the ones and twos, I might have to call her over as a spotter, because she probably catches more than I do, man. I got to tell you, I miss it occasionally.
Oh, yeah, she's not going to miss much. She'll come back and tell me something about games here and there and say, "Did you remember when this guy did this?" And I'm like, yep, I sure do. But, you know, just for being a bookkeeper and a mom, you know, she catches a lot of things. And she tells me sometimes, she loves telling me this right now before we go, she'll appreciate this when she listens to this. She loves telling me, D. Dale Brown. Like, sometimes when I get carried away with a referee or this or that, you know, you got to kind of simmer back down, and I guess what she means is be Dale Brown and be great, you know. So I'll leave you with that one.
You can just be Brad Boyd. That's good enough for me, man. You know, I appreciate it, Coach. Good luck tonight and the rest of the way.
No doubt. Thank you, Ben. Have a good one.
There really isn't much better than when basketball moms, wives, I guess even like girlfriends and sisters get into watching and being a part of a game. So pretty cool stuff there. And that family, all about their hoops. Great to have Brad Boyd back on Bumper to Bumper Sports. All right, we've got one more run left in us. After we take a quick recess here, we're coming back. I'm going to hand the baton to Clint. And raise your hand if you emceed a Mardi Gras ball this weekend. My hand is down. If you're out there, YP, you people in listener land, almost certainly, hand down. Famous Clint D has it up here inside the 237 Roof Studios. So we're going to let him wax on that and get you to the finish line. Great show so far. We're just going to keep it going. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, taking you home on your Monday, February the 4th, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. And yeah, I'm always in a little better mood, maybe a lot better mood, when Brad Boyd comes on the show. Love talking high school hoops with them. And that leads me to another reminder. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. The reminder is that we've got two more weeks left for your District 4-4A Game of the Week. And you've heard the Karen Crow, the STM, Westgate Northside talk that we just shared with Coach Boyd. Well, good, because we're going to have a few of those programs over the next 2 weeks. This Friday night, it'll be Northside at STM. That is going to be an important game. Danny Broussard and the Cougars struggled the first time around with Billy Sanye and the Vikings. Now it's the return trip, north side, heading to the south side of town. So it'll be the Vikings at the Cougars. We're expecting tip-off about 7:30, 7:40 right here on 103.7 The Game. And then we are going to have to move stations for the fifth and final District 4-4A Game of the Week a week from Friday, the 15th. We'll have LSU baseball starting their season right here on Acadiana Sports Station. Meanwhile, on our sister station, KVOL The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, and then 104.1 Oak Grove, Lake Charles, we'll have Westgate at Northside. So two more times, we're going to dip into high school basketball waters. Make sure you're paying attention. Make sure you're listening. A lot of these teams are going to make waves as they get into the Class 4A and also the Division II state playoffs. All right, enough of that. Basketball's coming. Now you know. Right now, on tap, we've got the famous Clint D ready to go in on what had to be one of the experiences of his young lifetime. I'm excited. I think you're excited. We're all excited to hear. CD, tell us about being basically the voice of Mardi Gras.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Being the voice of a Mardi Gras ball, it's an interesting situation. It's definitely a lot of fun. Heading to last Saturday night, I never was a master of ceremonies or the center of attention when it comes to a big event like this. And one of the big things I had everyone ask me the last couple of days since it happened was if I wound up getting nervous once the lights turned off and I took the mic. It was more being nervous in the moments leading up to it, because I hadn't really done much of this beforehand, especially in front of about 200 or 300 people. It's a big difference between that and whenever me and Ben are usually in the 237 Root Studios. That being said, a lot of perks to being the MC for the event. And one of the cool things was definitely making the rounds beforehand, talking with some of the people there, because when it comes to doing this in crowds, I'm not a big fan of big crowds, but kind of reading the room and seeing what kind of crowd it is and the vibe, I like that a lot more. It makes it a lot more comfortable, and then I can kind of get things kick-started. And then once things got kick-started, this was another cool thing that I didn't realize was going to happen. I knew they were going to have photographers and everything, but they actually had video cameras, and a video camera was focused in on me. And mind you, I definitely have a face for radio, and I definitely feel like having that in front of me and centered in on me the whole time, as I introduce each and every person that made their way down the aisle, it was a little weird, but I got used to it, and it was definitely pretty fun to kind of have that happen again. Maybe it's just the fact there are cameras in the studios, and I'm definitely getting used to it, but it's just the fact, like, I've never had anybody outright just filming me for, it was upwards of an hour, but it was really cool, because they also have little sketches that they do, and those were amazing, I'm going to say that. That was probably one of the big highlights, just seeing that. But I think the best part about all that is the feedback that I got instantaneously. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people loved the stuff that I was doing with the emceeing job. Somebody who had never done something like that before kind of got thrown in last minute. Everybody enjoyed it. The people who put on the event enjoyed it. A lot of people who were part of the crew enjoyed it. Maybe I'll do that down the line again. I just absolutely enjoyed it. And for somebody who doesn't necessarily get put over like Rover like this beforehand, it's refreshing to say the least to kind of have a lot of people say, dude, great job, all this stuff. It's like, you need that every now and again, am I right? I think that's definitely one of the coolest things. Also, getting paid wasn't half bad either.
Lived up to the hype, there was never a doubt. And never a doubt on the day after the Super Bowl that we'd go deep with a great list of guests. Right about now is when I thank them. Seriously, Sonny Shipp led the program off and crushed it. You can read his work, go247.com. Sonny was with us in the 4 o'clock hour. In the 5 o'clock hour, our main man, Ruffin Rodrigue of Rufino's on the River. And we've got some exciting news coming up, some more fun things that we'll be doing with Rufino's. Tell you about that sooner than later. We've also had, in this hour, Shamit Dua, lead writer, Bourbon Street Shots. And on the other side of our last break, it's our guy, Brad Boyd, head coach of Southside High School boys basketball. And that'll just about do it for a Monday. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. To all of you who listened, called, interacted on social media, my name is Ben Love. He's Clint Dome. And this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7TheGame.com.